Hey, take your Bibles with me and go to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. Second Chronicles, Ezra, then Nehemiah, Esther, and so forth. So it's right there. It's a very powerful little book. Many years ago, I was seeking the Lord about what really is involved to be used of the Lord. What are the characteristics that must be in a person's life for God to use that individual? As I began to study the book of Nehemiah, I saw the answer to my question. Nehemiah is a wonderful book. And you know, life is so short, congregation, that what you're going to do for God, you've got to be stirred in the inner man and make the most of the time that the Lord gives to you. This message really is for God's people as well as for the unsaved. And we'll show you that at the close of our service. Would you all look at Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall also of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Our dear Father, we ask again as we stand here in this pulpit that Thou would give us Your power to preach the Word of God. And may, Father, more than that, may hearts be touched. May Jesus Christ indeed be honored. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The book of Nehemiah reveals the life of a man who was used of God to accomplish really an impossible feat. This man's life portrays the character of a leader. Several years ago, I read a statement that said there are three types of people on this earth. One, those who do not know what's happening. Two, those who watch things happen. And three, those who make things happen. And Nehemiah will be the latter of these three. This man of God, his life flashes with an enthusiasm, with a zeal, and a hot pursuit to complete a goal that would bring glory to the Lord. Now, before we can fully grasp the impact and magnitude of this one man's life, I must give you a brief history of the circumstances that leads to Nehemiah coming on the scene and what he did. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar in the year 586 B.C. They came in and they literally destroyed the city. 2 Kings 25:10 says, and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now, it was said in ancient days that a city without lofty walls was not a city at all. And for 150 years, the city of Jerusalem laid waste. Now, Jerusalem literally means city of peace. But there could be no peace with its walls broken down. You see, they were defenseless against the attacks of the enemy. And that was devastating to the Jew because of the great love they had for Jerusalem. In Psalm 137 and verse 5 and 6, the psalmist said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So the chief joy to the Jew was the beloved city of Jerusalem. With this information in mind, it leads us to Nehemiah coming on the scene and what he did. And what this man of God did is absolutely phenomenal. It's incredible what this one man of God did. And yet, what Nehemiah did was because there were certain characteristics within this man of God's life. And my observation is this. You'll always find these characteristics in the individual that God ever uses. What were the characteristics in the life of this man of God? First of all, his life was characterized by compassion. Look in verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, three words show you the great compassion of Nehemiah in verse 4. He wept, he mourned, he fasted. Now, the man that God uses must have a compassion for others. This is just the opposite of what the world looks for. You know, congregation, the world looks for men of success, of intellect, of personality, of persuasion, and of strength. But God looks for something deeper. God looks upon a man's heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Nehemiah was a man who had an unusual compassion. Throughout the Bible, we find Jeremiah known as the weeping prophet. In Romans 10:1, the Word of God says of Paul, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." As Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and as the Apostle Paul had this compassion and drive of reaching his people for Jesus Christ. The thing we need in our lives, congregation, is this characteristic of compassion. That's what we're losing tonight. We're losing the ability to weep. You know, I don't preach to play on your emotions. But I'll tell you what, congregation, when's the last time you've wept? You see, tonight, this man of God, he saw the condition. He wept. He mourned. He fasted. That is weighty. Why? Because his life was characterized by something that's lacking in a lot of our own lives. But the man that God uses, he must have this compassion. Number two, would you not look at me please at verse 11. His life was characterized by action. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. And grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now you must pause for a moment and look here. Let me tell you something. Nehemiah was willing to place all of his ambitions and all of his abilities at the disposal of God. You see, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. That means he tasted whatever the king drank to assure him it had not been poisoned. He lived in a palace, a place of unusual luxury. But something was deeply burning in the heart of Nehemiah where this man of God cannot stand still. And by the way, that's always the characteristic of the individual that God uses. He just cannot stand still. For example, in the Old Testament, David did not seek to be a hero. But David knew someone had to fight the giant Goliath, and he did. That's the same with Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not seek to be a hero. But Nehemiah knew someone had to build the walls of Jerusalem, and he did. And congregation, that's always the characteristic of the individual that God uses. As someone wrote, the hero does not set out to be one. He's probably more surprised than others by such recognition. He was there when the crisis occurred and responded as he always had in any situation. Devoted to duty, he did the heroic. And that's exactly what this man of God did. Because in Nehemiah 2 and verse 2, King Artaxerxes said to Nehemiah, "Why is thy countenance sad?" In Nehemiah 2 and verse 3, Nehemiah said, "Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" Look, Nehemiah was visibly shaken by the awful deplorable condition of Jerusalem. When we look at the condition of America tonight, it ought to visibly shake our lives. Because politically, we are corrupt. Socially, we are perverted. Religiously, we are in shambles. And I'll tell you, Nehemiah was visibly shaken. His countenance was sad when he saw the condition. And King Artaxerxes said, "Nehemiah, what do you need?" Now notice something. Just like that, this man of God responded. He acted and said, "I need time." In Nehemiah 2 and verse 6, the word of God says, the king gave him time. Then the king said, "What else do you need?" And immediately he acted and said, "I need protection." And the word of God says in verse 7, in Nehemiah 2:17, the king gave him protection. Then the king said, "Is there anything else you need, Nehemiah?" And again he acted and said, "I need materials to build the gates of Jerusalem." In Nehemiah 2:8, the Bible declares the king gave him the materials to build the gates. All because Nehemiah was a man whose life was characterized by action. Look at me. It's not enough to weep. We've got to act. If you and I realize how brief our time we have left on this earth, how we are bestirred in the inner man, and recognize, as Jesus said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The Bible declares in Romans 12:11, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." In Colossians 3:23, the word of God says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." And Nehemiah, the Bible says, his life was characterized by action. Third of all, take your Bible now and go to Nehemiah chapter 6, just a couple pages over. Third of all, his life was characterized by determination. Now, when you find Nehemiah 6, I want you to gaze this way for a moment, because there were two men in chapter 6 who were the enemies of God, and they were also the enemies of Nehemiah. Now look at me. If your life is characterized by compassion, and your life is characterized by action, I'm going to tell you something. You will always have someone to oppose you. Sanballat and Tobiah were the enemies of this man of God. And the Bible says the first thing they tried to do to Nehemiah, they tried to distract him. For they said, "Nehemiah, come down off the wall. Let's talk this thing over." And Nehemiah gave a response. Look at Nehemiah 6 and verse 3, where he said, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down." Now look here. If you're determined to be used of God, there'll be people who will try to distract you. When I went to college, I had five friends. These were dear friends of mine. All five of them were. These men were intellectual giants. They all had a 3.5 or higher grade level. They all held the major positions as campus leaders. They all were outstanding preachers. I thought these five men, when they left college, they would go out and impact America. Look at me. All five of my friends are no longer in the ministry. One young man got sidetracked by the opposite sex and left his wife. Another young man divorced his wife. Another young man was involved in finances. Another young man went on the deep end in a theological knot. All five men no longer are in the ministry. They got distracted. I'm going to tell you something, congregation. My observation, the devil will try his best and distract you. These two men, their purpose was to distract Nehemiah from what God had called them to do. Second of all, they tried to discourage him. They falsely accused Nehemiah of treason against the king. Look at Nehemiah 6 and verse 9, where he said, latter part of verse 9, O God, strengthen my hands. Look here. It's bad enough to be distracted, but I tell you, discouragement is a terrible woe. When I went into ministry, I had so many problems with English. You see, we spoke Russian in our home. We spoke Lithuanian in our home. And I had two brothers. It did not affect the two brothers like it affected me. It caused me to stutter. It caused a terrible erratic speech problem. To the extent, when I went to college, I had two speech teachers who tried to discourage me from ever going in the ministry. Mr. Bob Pratt said, with your problems, Jerry, I honestly believe you ought to seek another vocation. I said, no, Mr. Pratt, I know God's coming to preach. The other teacher was Miss Joyce Parks. Without knowing what he had said, she said to me one day, I must see you in my office. You know, Jerry, with your problems, I think you ought to go into another vocation. I said, no, Miss Parks, I know God's coming to preach. Then those two teachers both poured themselves into my life. When Mr. Pratt, before he died, he wrote me a letter and said, Jerry, if you were the only result of my years of teaching at Bob Jones, it's been worth my teaching all the years to see how the Lord used your life. Miss George Parks took my wife and I for a lovely meal just before she passed away. And she requested I be a pallbearer at her funeral. And those teachers poured their lives into me. But when I started preaching, I had terrible problems where people would come to me on a regular basis, and the thing so embarrassing, my wife, Sharon, was by my side, and they say, you know what, we can't understand what you are saying. We were planning on bringing friends. We can't understand you. And that was thrown in my face for the first 3 years in evangelism. And I could have done one of two things. I could have said, you know what, they're making fun of me. I guess I'll go back to the hills of West Virginia where I belong. Or else, I could have done what I did do. I said, okay, all right, we'll see about that. And so, I start memorizing everything. My wife, if she were here tonight, would tell you, we go down the road in the car, pulling a trailer. I'm trying to pronounce a word, one word. Sharon is working with me 45 minutes on one word. I can't pronounce a word. She's laughing so hard, she's ready to roll out of the truck. And finally, I got so mad at that word, I have kicked that word out of my vocabulary. As a matter of fact, I have kicked a lot of words out of my vocabulary. And don't you embarrass me by asking me what those stupid words are. I'll never use them as long as I live. But look, congregation, I began to work at it. For one reason, to try to impress you? No. To be used of God. To be used of Him. You know what, congregation? Discouragement is a big thing. People will do all they can to discourage you. They'll try to distract you like they did Nehemiah. But would you all observe Nehemiah 6 and verse 15? Because the Bible says, a lot of part of verse 15, the wall was built in 52 days. What is so significant about that? Look here, I'll tell you what it is. Nehemiah did in 52 days what the nation of Israel could not do for years. All because he was a man of determination. Someone said, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. A man who knows the great enthusiasms and the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who in the end knows the triumph of high achievements. And if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. So his place shall never be with a cold and timid soul who neither knows victory nor defeat. And Nehemiah stands as a monument of a life characterized by compassion, of action and determination, and did a great work for God. Are you aware, sir, there's a work on this earth that you can do that no one else can do? You as a lady, there's a job that no one else can do except you. But if God uses us, you'll find these characteristics. Now, if you're here tonight and don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to give you a quick view of what's happening in America. As the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed and were knocked down, every major wall in America is crumbling. The wall of decency, the wall of integrity, the wall of character. It seems like our nation has become a cesspool. All of the walls that protected our nation are crumbling. There's such dishonesty. There's such greed, immorality, drunkenness, drugs, pornography, everything. And the world is an awful, deplorable condition. And my friend, just as the walls of Jerusalem were crumbling and were laid flat, America is under the big gun of the devil and the demons of hell. And my friend, the only answer for your life is recognizing you've got to get your eyes turned upward toward Jesus Christ. On September 10th, which is my birthday, I was preaching in Farmington, New Mexico, September 10th, 2001. When I got through preaching the message that night, we had a crowd of around 250 people. And I said, "Congregation, before I dismiss you, I am burdened to bear my heart to you people about something." And here's the exact words I said. "America has no time for God. And America will have no time for God until there's a major catastrophe in our nation." I said that September 10th, 2001. The next morning, when the two planes hit the World Trade Center, that night, without any advertisement, there were over 400 to 500 people in the auditorium. It was packed. When I spoke, you could have heard a pin drop. People were searching. When they saw the devastation of those two towers that fell, people then began to look upward. And for a short period of time, our meetings were literally packed. Why? People were searching, and they came to the house of God for the answer. My friend, the night, when everything falls apart in your life, the only way you can look is the upward look. Jesus said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And you've got to come to Christ, because He's the one who died for your sins. He arose from the grave to give you life everlasting. And you've got to come to Him. He's your only hope. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray.